Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, I've entitled this, Don't Be Fooled, You Were Made for More. Don't be fooled, you were made for more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, would you stand with us tonight? No notes for you, but I hope that you take some more than that, that God would write on the fleshly tablets of our heart. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it's on the screen, New International Version. Do you not know, are you ready? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Did I finish that? I'm sorry, the screen changed on me and I lost my mind. Here, Pastor Karen, read for us, please.
From 1 Corinthians 6.
From the beginning.
Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, we're reading through verse 20. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, put up verse 13. You're good. Stay where you're at. Verse 13. We're okay. Jesus, help me. You say food for the stomach. Come on, you read with me. You say food for the stomach and stomach for the food, and God will destroy both of them. It will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Verse 14. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will also raise us also. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Verse 16. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. Ushers, lock the doors. Thank you. Verse 17. But whoever is united... I'm just kidding. Don't lock the doors. It's a joke. But if you're squeamish, you might want to leave right now. Okay, verse 17. No, stay. Everybody say stay. Stay. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Verse 18. Flee. Everybody say flee. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins as a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Verse 20, final verse. You were bought with a price. Say that. I was bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Father, thank you so much for what you've done already in worship and what you'll do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Whether you realize it or not, my brain works differently, and I have three solid versions that my brain goes back and forth with memory, and so sometimes when I'm reading things and it shifts, my brain does something fun. One of the things I see in my own life, and I see in the lives of so many others, is people get fooled. They get deceived. And deception's a problem. It's a real problem that every single person here is going to face. You're going to face deception. The scriptures talk about in the last days how even the elect can be led astray. That's us. We're the elect. And the reason is, go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to look at a bunch of scripture. Romans chapter 7, verse 11. One of the reasons is verse 11 of chapter 7 of the book of Romans. For, For sin, seizing the opportunity by the commandment, deceived me. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. It did what? It deceived. Sin actually brings deception. So because we have a fallen human nature, we can be open to deception. We have to watch that. You can bump your neighbor and say, are you deceived? You can be open to deception. All of us have an inheritance of sin from Adam. This text is to give you the context of what's taking place here. Paul writing the church in Corinth, they have big issues. They have a huge problem in Corinth, and it's one of pride, but it's so much more. There's perversion. And in actual fact, if you were to be someone who is perverted or licentious, if you were a carouser, do we need to give a different terms for that? If you're promiscuous, if you were someone who is loose, you're just out there in your life from drinking and gambling and sex and all that, then and you live that way, then they say that you've been Corinthianized. That was a phrase that they used in the first century. You're like, oh, well, he's been Corinthianized. He really needs the Lord. That was a phrase they used. And there's a number of reasons for that. Sexual sin had affected the church, chapter 5. And it's intense. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole batch of dough? Leave the scripture up. How many of you ever done any baking? Okay, so you all know what leaven is. Yeast is. It works. There's a good kind of yeast. There's a godly yeast that could work, but there's also yeast as seen as like the leaven of the Pharisees, and there's the leaven of the sin, of the yeast of sin. Pardon me. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know the? So what are they boasting about? There's this guy who in the church has an affair with his stepmother. So, but it sounds like the church in 2025. There's so much craziness in the church, and it was back then too, because of the fallenness of mankind. So there's a father, he has his mother. We don't know how they got divorced, or maybe she's dead, I don't know, but he's remarried. So the father remarries, and the son grows up old enough to be able to have an affair with his stepmom. You all understand that? Does that make sense? Everybody say, no, no, no. And what he's rebuking them for is they're tolerating it. They're allowing it. What you endorse, what you tolerate, you're endorsing. So you can't tolerate that. What do you mean? I thought we need to be tolerant. We need to be loving and accepting, but we also need to hold out a standard of what truth is. And if you don't do that, then you end up with the church that's all jacked up. You end up with a church that has yeast working through the whole thing. I pastored a number of works before coming here with my amazing wife. And as we were there in Kauai, there was a family. This is 20-something years ago, so I'm going to use it as an illustration. There was a person in the church who was not a leader. They weren't formal members. They wanted to be, but they were not willing to let go of their partner. Okay, so we were glad that they were coming and the partner was coming and all of that. We were glad. We encouraged them to get right, but they didn't and didn't want to, and there was all kinds of reasons for it. They had all kinds of logic and reasons that they had. And so they just stayed together, and they were part of the church. Not formal members, not leaders. Because you can't be a formal member, you can't be a leader if you're living in that way. We don't endorse that. We can't do that. Biblically, we can't. And so as time went on, this young girl gives her heart to Jesus, gets gloriously saved, is coming to church, and she pulled us aside and said, it's okay if I move in with my boyfriend. And I said, no, it is not okay. Don't do that. She says, well, yeah, I want to. I said, well, why would you do that? And she said to me, well, these guys do that. Because I've been counseling with them, and they, I see that they do that. Why can't I do that? I said, because it's not right. I'll help you later. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Pastor Otto went straight to the person. It was after the service. I didn't wait. I didn't phone call. I didn't text because we didn't have text, and I wouldn't have texted anyway. And I certainly would have put a Google review about it. Well, that is not the last sucker punch you're going to get, for sure. Jesus, help me be kind. Help me be kind. I retract that statement. Pastor Karen. I pulled them aside and said, okay, you've been here for over a year. You know what is right. I've taught you. I've allowed you to come. I said, but as of right now, your influence has affected a brand new believer and maybe, most likely, is affecting other people in the church, and it's over. So here's it. The time of grace is over. I said, so you may not come here anymore if you continue in that lifestyle, or you can change. We don't have the money. We don't have that. I said, you can change tonight, or you need to go somewhere else to figure it out. But I would highly suggest you get right with God. Tears, they're crying, I'm crying. Pastor, how can you? I said, because it's Bible. You're affecting other people. It's not right. And you have a lot of excuses. You need to stop tonight. We don't know what you just make a decision. So they looked at each other and said, okay, that's it then. Okay, we're no longer together. So homeboy had no place to go. It was instantly God provided an apartment that night. And he moved out that night. It was miraculous to me how all of a sudden all the obstacles and problems and money and everything, when they put their heart to say, no, we're going to live right, everything lined up, wham, and they got married within a month. It was amazing. It was a yeast that started to work through the church. And that's what the Corinthian churches was having a problem. And Paul's correcting, the church was arrogant. They were arrogant that they could just do things like that. Paul commands the church, look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 5. Are you ready for this? You're not ready for this. You're not ready. Anybody else? You ready? Brace yourself. Just fasten your seatbelt high and tight. Put your trays in the upright lock position. There's turbulence coming. But now I'm writing to you, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 5, 11, writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister but is sexually immoral or greedy or idolater or slanderer or drunkard or a swindler. Don't even eat with such people. What? What? Some of you have ongoing fellowship. And you wonder why is there confusion in my life? Are you telling? No, I'm not telling you. Paul's telling you right there. I'm writing, you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister. Brother or sister is someone who says, I'm born again, I love God. I love God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You say, that's kind of intense. It is intense. It is. There needs to be loving correction, but not a religiosity and a pharisaical spirit. I thank God for his mercy. When I first came in the church, I couldn't find my hinder parts with two hands and a survey team. And then later on, I started learning, and then I started learning and allowed certain things in my life because I said things like, well, God knows my heart, you know. He knows. Yeah, he knows that your heart's black and deceitfully wicked, as it says in Jeremiah. But he pulls out the heart of stone and he puts in the heart of flesh. There needs to be standards. You can't just say, oh, I'm a believer, but then you live this broken way that's not a testament to God. So you're going to shrink the church. No, you can actually end up with a real one. You end up with a powerful move of the Spirit of God. Holiness matters. Holiness matters. Purity matters. And I have got friends and those that I've associates that won't preach this message because you're like, I'm going to thin my church. Yeah, maybe it needs it. Maybe people need that. Maybe people need to understand what's right and wrong. It'd be horrible to find out when you're before the throne that you actually don't get to go to heaven because you've been fornicating the whole time, even though you said you were a Christian. Bump your neighbor and say, I'm so glad I came to church on a Wednesday night. It's fantastic. Paul handles the deception that sin releases in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. We read it, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. So as I said, some people say, well, God knows my heart. He does, and that's not, you must drive that out. You must change. To repent means to change the way that you think. True repentance means to change your behavior. That's what that means. Salvation is an ongoing relationship with Christ. I've used the illustration with my wife, and the word uses marriage as an illustration, this one flesh. I have a relationship with my beautiful wife, and it's just beautiful. But you require my attention and my love, and I require yours. And the way that I handle things that you're concerned about shows my love for you. And not just lip service. The way that you respond to God and obeying his word shows whether you love him or not. So if you allow for greed and you allow for lust and you allow for those things in your life, then actually you really aren't loving God. We have a dog and his name's Cooper, named from one of our favorite places to drive through, Cooper Landing, on the way to kill fish. Hallelujah. And my wife, Pastor Karen, is highly allergic to dogs. So if she didn't hug you, it might be that you've got dog hair or something. She saw it because she just has a skill for seeing dog hair. Because it'll be in her eyes and she has to go wash her eyes out. And for whatever reason, it's gotten a little bit worse in the recent years. So we have a dog. Why do we have a dog? Because the kids wanted the dog and because I wanted the dog and she loves us. So she went, I can't believe you did it, but it's Danny's dog. He'll be graduating to Danny's house one of these days. But until that time, if you come to my house, I'm going to ask you to wash your hands after if you pet the dog. It's instantly pet the dog, instantly go to sink, wash your hands. Because otherwise it gets on doorknobs. I mean, you wouldn't believe the contamination. I've learned these things. My wife has taught me. How would it be if I just pet the dog and put my hands in your face? I'm not going to say that. Pastor Karen, she said, I would kick you. I'm like, oh. But I mean, how would that make you feel? How would that make, it would be bringing her pain. That when we don't live according to God's word, and really the commandments for us, it's not like he's trying to steal your fun. He's trying to help you, but it does break his heart also. Salvation is an ongoing relationship with Jesus. Marriage is an ongoing relationship with your spouse. And you have to ongoingly make sure you don't put your hands in something and rub it in your spouse's face. You understand? How do you care for the things that she or he cares for shows your love for them. I'm preaching like way better. Can the married people say amen?
Amen.
All right. So loving Jesus is this ongoing relationship. And to think any other way than what I'm teaching you right now is to be fooled. To be fooled. Pastor Karen gave a definition of what a biblical fool is. It's to be deceived, to be a fool. If you think you can live a life that he just delineated, wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God, to think that you can do that and you actually still go to heaven, you've been fooled, you've been deceived, you've been bamboozled, you've been led down the primrose path. He describes wicked behavior in Galatians 5. Turn there. Come on, it's going to get good at the end. I know it's pretty intense right now. See, that's why when you're online, you can turn me off. But if you're here, like, you have to get up and walk out, and everybody sees you walk out, which you're free to do. The man who's in control of his tongue is in control of his entire being. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. It's my brother on the front row making fun. Love you, Chris. Galatians 5, would you turn there? Verse 19. Galatians 5 and 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discords, jealousies, fits of rage. Anybody know that someone does fits of rage? Fits of rage, selfish ambition. Oh, snap. Dissensions, factions and envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he makes a number of lists in different epistles and writings. And he starts here, sexual sin. He lists other sins. Back to our main text, he begins to list actually what Christian behavior is like. Describes true Christian behavior. Look at verse 11, back to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. He goes through this litany, and it's just like, Pastor, you just wiped out the whole church. I know. But then he says here in verse 11, and that's what some of you were. Let's all say it together. And that's what some of you were. It's in the past. He's writing to them saying, hey, this is not how you live. You live free. You live holy. You live pure. You used to be all into all of that, but that's what you were. That's in your past. Come on, somebody say that's in my past. I just love the good news. Oh, the blood has cleansed me. I've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Oh, I once was bound, but now I've been free. I've been loose. My sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west. I'm a new creation. I'm brand new. That's what some of you were. Say it. That's what some of you were. But you were washed. Well, what does that mean? He's talking about the blood, spiritual cleansing, a regeneration, Titus 3:5, a regeneration. Psalm 51:2, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Hebrews 10 and 22, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Through the blood of Jesus, my record is clean. You said, did you have a hard life? Yes, I did not do well in my early 20s, but I got born again. That's what I was. I am no longer that. I've been washed. I've been washed. I've been washed. You need to push this down into your heart to forget about your past. You've been washed. Oh, the blood. Nothing but the blood, the blood, the blood, nothing but the blood. B-L-O-O-D, blood. Lift your hands to heaven and say, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, blood, blood. Oh, the B-L-O-O-D. Oh, you've almost got it. Lift your hands, try it one more time. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the B-L-O-O-D, the blood. You missed the last part. Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Put your hands together for Jesus, come on. That's what some of you were. You were washed. You were sanctified. These are very, very important words. Washed refers to the blood, of what the blood does. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The blood, the B-L-O-O-D, cleanses us from sin. We've been washed. Say it, I've been washed. And if you haven't been washed, then you need to be. You're sanctified. You were sanctified, verse 11. You were what? Sanctified. It means to be set apart. It means to be consecrated. It means to be set apart as holy. Sanctification. Pastor Tim, would you look up sanctification in our 16 fundamental truths, King's Version for me? It's daily reckoning the death and life of Christ. What do you mean the King's Version? We altered it. We added some things because there were some people that were taking advantage and not fully understanding what sanctification means. You can see it. It's on the website. Personal sanctification. You belong to God, but there's a progressive sanctification, which is daily living a life set apart for God. Come on, how many of you live a life that's more pure today than you did 10 years ago? That's the process of sanctification, which is a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit, but there's progressive sanctification. You're made holy by imputed righteousness. That's when you believe on Jesus, you're cleansed from your sin because of his blood, and instantly you're translated, I made reference to it during worship, out of darkness into the kingdom of his son. Instantly you're forgiven. You're outside of the kingdom before that, but once you receive Jesus, once you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're born again. You get born again, you're translated out of darkness, and you're placed into the kingdom of God. Until you're born again, you're outside the kingdom of God. In fact, you're a son of perdition, the scripture says. Somebody say, I don't want that. Thank you so much. Sanctification is the act of separation from that which is evil and of dedication unto God. Romans 12, 1 through 2, Hebrews 13, 12, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. The scriptures teach a life of holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 14. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we're able to obey the command, be holy, for I am holy. By the power of the what? Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Listen now, sanctification. So we're not, that's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. Sanctification is realized in the believer by recognizing his identification with Christ in his death and resurrection. And by faith, reckoning daily upon the fact of that union, and by offering every faculty continually to be under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. Lots of scripture. Romans 6, Romans 8, 1 Peter 1, Galatians 2, 20, a favorite of mine. I've been crucified with Christ, and no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Sanctification. Philippians 2 and 12. One aspect of holiness is not doing what is evil, which I just read, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, which I'm preaching to you right now. Another aspect of holiness is seeing all human life as sacred and created by God in his image. The ramification of this truth is lived out in the following ways at Kings. Human life is of inestimable worth in all its dimensions, including preborn babies, the aged, the physically or mentally challenged, and every other stage or condition from conception to natural death. We are therefore called to defend and protect the value of all human life. Psalm 139. We believe that God wonderfully and immutably creates each person as male and female. My God, this is good. Oh, this, lift your hand to heaven and say, oh, this is good right here. These two distinct complementary genders together reflect the image and nature of God. Genesis 1. The reflection of one's biological sex is the rejection of one's biological sex is a rejection of the image of God within that person. I'm going to say that again. The rejection of one's biological sex is a rejection of the image of God within that person. We believe the term marriage has only one meaning. The uniting of one man and one woman in a single exclusive union as delineated in Scripture, Genesis 2. We believe that God intends sexual intimacy to occur only between a man and a woman who are married to each other. 1 Corinthians 6:18. I'm preaching on that. It's in there. 1 Corinthians 7, 2 through 5, Hebrews 13. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity be engaged outside of marriage between a man or a woman. We believe that any form of sexual immorality, including adultery, fornication, homosexual behavior, bisexual conduct, bestiality, incest, the use of pornography, is sinful and offensive to God. Matthew 15, 1 Corinthians 6, again with the text that we're in, 1 Timothy 1. And 9 through 11, we believe that in order to preserve the function of and integrity of kings, cathedral and chapels as a local body of Christ, and to provide a biblical role to our members and the community, it is imperative that all persons employed by kings, cathedral and chapels in any capacity or hold formal membership must hold to these biblical standards of holiness. That doesn't leave any gray area. It says it all. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm living holy. Come on, say it. I'm living holy. My. What a passage. That's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. That is a great definition of sanctification, especially for this culture that we live in. Or justified. Look at verse 11 again. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Justified is a legal term. It's to be declared righteous. It's to be declared just as if you never sinned. I heard that when I first got saved. I was like, what is justified? And the pastor said to me, well, it's just as if you never sinned. I'm like, sweet. It's a legal term. You've been justified. Come on, raise your hand to heaven and say, I've been justified. Okay, unless, of course, you're living in sin. And then change. Stop. Stop it. I'm not looking at anybody. I don't know where you're at, but I sense that this deception would creep in. It would creep in on any one of us. You see, in the name of tolerance, you can end up actually in deception and losing salvation. We're not supposed to be tolerant. We're supposed to be loving and hold a standard. It's amazing when you hold a standard what happens. Even though we were guilty through Jesus' death, his resurrection, we stand as if we've never sinned. I mean, that is amazing. Romans 5 and 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this is done by the name of Jesus and the work of the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. All right. He deals with thought patterns that bring deception. Everything's beneficial for me. That thought pattern will bring deception. Hey, you know what? God knows my heart. I can live for him. I can do whatever I want to. He goes and talks about you've been purchased with a price. So actually, the revelation that you are no longer your own needs to come to mind because your body's not your own. Not everything is beneficial. I'll not be mastered by anything. That's interesting. I beat sugar, which is a big deal for me. And recently, I went off the reservation. What do you mean by that? I recently decided to have some dessert. I didn't just have one piece, though. Because I felt like, and it's kind of the challenge of when you break that kind of thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And like, since I've gone ahead and had sugar, I mean, my God, we might as well just go all the way. Isn't that a sin? That's such the flesh. My God. So there I am. I think we have like six. I don't know how many desserts we ordered. You have to ask my guide, Finn. We had all these desserts, and they were amazing. I mean, they were amazing. I mean, they had something of the glory of God on it, I think. I don't know. It was just like, wow. We ate those things, And I found myself wanting more and more. yourself wanting more. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? No, that's you, Pastor. You got an issue with sugar. I know. What's your issue? I killed it today by the grace of God. I've got two more days before it stays dead. It kind of lingers for a little bit. It's got to be 3 days in the grave and that thing breaks for me. So you got to fight it tonight. Don't offer me any dessert. I'll have the security take you out. Food for the stomach, stomach for the food, Paul says. And what he's saying basically, what he's saying is, be like super gracious here. He's saying, my body was created by God, and I have a body, and my body wants to do stuff, so it's all right. No, that's totally not true, but that's what they're quoting. In other words, I have a body that can do certain things, and I want to do that. And Paul's saying, no, you got it all wrong. That's not why your body was created for you to do whatever you want. No, that's not the way it is. Oh, he uses this incredible illustration, which I remember the first time I read it, I thought, whoa, that's kind of a shocker. Will you unite yourself? Will you unite Christ with a prostitute? I mean, that's like dramatic. And he says, The sexual sin is the one that takes place within your body. All other sins are outside your body. Please listen to what I'm telling you. All other sin, you can steal, you can cheat, you can drink, you can do all of the litany and the list that he gave. You do all of those things, but sexual sin, that one is different. Why? Because it's the one that takes place actually, not just physically, but spiritually. There is not only a uniting in the natural, without going into details, unless we call Dr. David up to explain it to us all, but children's churches in the back and youth churches up there, upstairs, this is adult service. So your body was made a certain way to procreate. And there's reasons for sex. There's three reasons. Come on, somebody say three reasons. There's three reasons for sex, Dr. David. I'm just kidding. One, for making babies. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I believe there's another baby boom. I believe it's a baby boom happening all across America. I think we're about to have a bumper crop of babies. Bumper crop for children, for multiplying. Two, again, sex to be inside of marriage. The second reason. Thank you. Is for oneness. It is actually one of the greatest acts of spiritual warfare a married couple can do. It brings together a unity in the marriage. Should not withhold from your partner to teach them something. Scripture talks about that too. You can abstain, but don't go for long. There's a covering that you provide for your husband, he provides for you. It's important to get busy. It's important. It's critical. For oneness. The third reason, Pastor Karen, you want to talk about the third reason? It's for pleasure. God is not against pleasure. He created it. You know what the epicenter of pleasure is? It's the throne. The throne, there is more pleasure and joy at the throne than anywhere else. The enemy has perverted it. Try to say that you really get real pleasure by being sinful. And eating sugar and stuff. No! Sexual activity is to be inside of marriage for one. We can put pleasure first, but that's not necessarily in order. Pleasure, oneness, producing children. Those are the three biblical reasons for having sex with your wife, with your husband. Outside of marriage, it is absolutely verboten, which is German for forbidden. Verboten just sounds stronger. I don't know, something about Germany in German. And what they've found with people that struggle with multiple personalities, you know what they've discovered? Know what? I'll tell you. They discovered that people with multiple personalities and that type of, those types of challenges have, many of them have been with many, many sexual partners. You see, when you're with somebody, they get a piece of you and you get a piece of them. When I first heard this, I thought, oh, come on, somebody say, oh. I don't want a piece of them anymore. Good. Then break it. Break it off. Reject it. Send it back. It's breaking soul ties. I've seen people who should say, I love you, I love you, I love you. They're not married, and then they go ahead and get together, and man, the heartbreak those people go through. It's like practicing divorce. One girlfriend after the next, one boyfriend after the next, usually the last two. If it's good, 3 years. Listen, you need to get married or live a life of abstinence, celibacy. Sure is quiet in here. Maybe we should have Pastor Alex come on the keys or something. Would you help me? It's painful in here. The physical effects is spiritual. But literally in the spirit, you have a spirit. Your body is going to return to the dust and you get a glorified body. When you sleep with someone, you get a piece of them. They get a piece of you. Now, if you're married and you're one flesh, that's what that means. You're one flesh. This is good. It's beautiful. If you're not married, we'll destroy you. Don't fornicate. Come on. Don't live in sin. No, don't do it. Don't live a life of debauchery. Don't fornicate, no, no, no. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Find a wife, find a husband, and get married. Have all the fun you want. So husband's like, we need to do some spiritual warfare tonight. Just feel the devil. We need to take authority tonight. Lift your hands to heaven. I don't dare look at my wife. I'm going over here. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Hey, you need to hear this in church. You need to hear it. Because if you don't hear it, then you think it's okay and a little bit of leaven, and all before you know it, you'll have a church that's defiled and broken and powerless. The enemy wants to sow evil seeds into your life and get you over into deception. Well, as long as I love God, as long as I tithe, you can tithe and still go to hell. Hey! Well, I just love everybody. You're not even supposed to associate with people who call themselves a Christian. A brother or sister says don't even associate with them. That means you're not sharing coffee. That means they're not coming over. That means you're not spending time together. That means you are not hanging around with them. What if I hurt their feelings? You'll notice in the text that 1 Corinthians 5, they say, turn the man over to Satan. I've only done it a handful of times, and it's not the kind of thing you're like, that's it, Satan's now your pastor. That's not what you do. That is what we said to the people that day all those years ago in Kauai. And they said, no, 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 no. I said, good idea. Satan's a horrible pastor. Turns him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. I mean, literally, there's a covering of protection. By coming here to this house, there's a covering of protection. By being a part of a local church, there's a covering that comes over you. And if for whatever reason, there is church discipline. We had somebody that comes, some huckster. How many of you know what a huckster is? I'm not sure, but I heard it this morning in the New Living Translation in morning prayer, a huckster. Thought it was a shuckster, but... And to quote my wife, they were just hurt, they were wounded, they needed healing, they needed deliverance. But they would come in here, not here, but at the other building, and try to get money from people, constantly taking money from people, constantly borrowing, constantly pleading this case, and we're fleecing the sheep and ripping people off. You know, you're not allowed to do that. Let me just tell you, don't lend anybody money. If it's your family, I think that could be different. Don't be the lender to people. If people need money, they ask you to borrow money or something, and you have it to give it to them, then go ahead and bless them. But don't say, oh no, next paycheck, I'm gonna bring it. Do not do that. It is not a biblical thing to do. Because people will go to hell over $100. They won't show back up to church. And then the paycheck comes, or maybe they weren't even getting a paycheck. And then before you know it, they're upside down and they owe you $100 and they owe Billy $100 and they owe someone else $50. And before you know it, they don't want to show themselves in church because they borrowed. In this case, he wanted to show himself to church so he could rip more people off. When we figured out what was happening, I said, hey, now listen, don't do that anymore. He said, okay, Pastor, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Now listen, you need to pay that money back. He said, well, okay. And I said, and do not do it anymore. Work an agreement with the people you borrowed money. Do not do that anymore. Well, a month goes by, and I had somebody come up to me and say, hey, Pastor, you know, I really want to help this guy out because he needs some help, but I feel it's a check in my spirit because you mentioned, you know, don't lend to people. And he wants to take a loan from me. I said, who's that? He goes, oh, well, I don't want to tell you. I said, no, you're going to tell me. Who's that? He said, oh, it's Brother Lend Money, him. I said, dude, I told you, don't do that. Now that's your last chance. I'm gonna give you one more chance. In fact, I don't even think I was biblical right there. You warn a person once, twice, and you have nothing to do with them. So I guess that was twice. Don't do that. Do you know what happened a month later? Same thing happened. And I said, here's what's gonna happen. You are not allowed to come here anymore. I love you. I did it with tears. I said, you must go. Unless you repent and never do it again. And even then, you need to pay it back. And they're in jail tonight. And I pray that God sets them free. They lost their marriage. They lost their kids. They had all kinds of accidents and problems. They lived the curse. You don't have to live the curse. All right. Flee fornication. Anybody say flee? God's speaking to us tonight as I bring this Boeing 747 in for a landing. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Since we are prone to being fooled, being deceived, we're prone to that because of the world we live in, because of the flesh, our fallen human nature. You have to take action. What action do I take? Constantly remember where you came from and what God has done. But you were washed. You were cleansed. Come on, you were sanctified. You were justified. Come on, say that. I was washed. I was cleansed. I was sanctified. I was justified. Yes, remind yourself of that. Memorize those scriptures. That's what some of you were. I used to be broken. I used to be bound, but I am now healed. I am now whole. I used to be blind, but now I see. I used to be led around by my flesh, but now I'm led by the Spirit. For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I want to be a son of the Most High. I am a son of the Most High. I don't mean son of God as in Jesus. I mean an heir, a co-heir with Christ. I've been redeemed. I've been washed. I'm a new creation. Oh, I asked my brother who gave his heart powerfully to Jesus about 4 or 5 years ago. I said, did you think I'd end up becoming a preacher? And he said, no. I said, do you remember me, you know, the way? He said, no, you're totally different. Is that true? Amen. Because I was, that's what I was. I was washed. Come on, say it. I was washed. I was cleansed. I was sanctified. I was justified. I am redeemed by the Lord. Don't go back to the old life. And if you're living that way, snap out of it. Snap out of it. If you're living in sin, stop. Stop it. If you've been here and you've been in that lifestyle or living that way and just kind of winking at it, hoping for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your person to bounce out and come listen, you got to set a standard. You got to stand up. And there comes moments I've found this, just like that couple all those years ago. I'm giving you that moment from God right now. Stop living that way. Or what happens? I've seen what happens. You take a moment like this of conviction and you're like, and just sort of suppress it and keep living it, keep living that way. And before you know it, you're not convicted anymore. Before you know it, you don't feel like going to church anymore. And before you know it, you're not serving God anymore. And a few years, you say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Be like, convicted, convicted. And before you know it, you're not saying that anymore. Then you're cursing twice as much. You're back on drugs or you're back, you're lost. It's 8:30. Do you know where your children are? Remember what Christ has done. You got to stay in God's word. You got to stay in God's word. If you don't stay in God's word, then your thoughts will be weird. Be careful of getting a hardened heart, which I was just talking about. Stay in relationship with the Lord and be encouraged. And let your life encourage other people. Are you encouraging other people? Take responsibility and confront. I think a large part of what I do as your pastor is confront. I'm confronting the thing right now. If your life lined up with some of the things that we read and you need to repent, stop it. There's no shame in that. Jesus never shamed anybody. He never made fun of them because they had devils. He didn't make fun of Mary or the woman at the well. He didn't do that. He just spoke the truth. And then they got to choose and they would respond and they would follow him. He's filled with love. We need to be like that.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.